Chris Turnage joins us in the studio before we head to the Duffer and Field. Chris, good afternoon. How are you?
Good, guys. How are you?
Good. Fresh off of your trip to Mobile.
Yep. Couldn't get away from the weather. It was cold down there, too.
You stay busy this time of year, huh?
Absolutely. This is the busy time of the year. You know, we had three All-Star games back-to-back-to-back. 2 weeks ago was in Charleston, last week in Tampa for East-West, and then Senior Bowl, and then Combine will be coming up in February.
Out of the three bowl games, we'll get to some callers, some more questions, but out of the three bowl games, is there one that's more prestigious? Is the Senior Bowl the most prestigious?
Yeah.
And then can juniors play in any of these bowl games? Or?
You know, the Senior Bowl is by far the number one game. It's the most prestigious, the one you shoot for. There's going to be a higher percentage of guys get drafted higher out of that game.
As far as more GM scouts,
absolutely.
They go to that
one. Every single GM was there this past week. Pretty much every head coach. The majority of the people are there, so you get your decision makers there. East-West is number two. It's been going a long, long time. It's bounced around from San Francisco to Houston, but East-West is a pretty good game as well. But what was your other question, Matt, on that?
I guess just the atmosphere at all three games, and kind of which one was the best, and can juniors play in any
of them? Juniors. So they actually made a rule that underclassmen can play in the Senior Bowl if they've graduated. So underclassmen by eligibility, I mean underclassmen by football standpoint, mm-hmm. but they've actually graduated. And so last year was the first year they did that, and DJ Fluker was one from Alabama.
Well, and the big thing on AJ McCarron not playing, does that hurt him? What is his grade kind of right now?
You know, it's crazy. If he was a top five overall pick, and I was his agent, I'd absolutely say, hey, sit out. There's no reason to do it.
But when you're a third or fourth round,
pick,
he just had some minor surgery.
I didn't know
too.
That he had surgery.
Well, he I'll tell you, the director of the Senior Bowl is Phil Savage. He used to be the GM of the Cleveland Browns. And Phil gets up there now, and he reads, these guys are healthy scratches to the whole people that are there, you know. And so telling you, hey, these guys just didn't want to come compete. And he listed McCarron as one that was a healthy scratch.
Now, I heard him on another show, and he was, I would say, a little upset about some of the players, because you're saying how prestigious and honor to play in that bowl game. And he's a local legend.
Absolutely.
Right,
yeah.
There.
From Mobile. And, you know, he came back and said, the doctors advised me not to since I had surgery earlier. But it wasn't a medical reason that he didn't. He just said he didn't want to. Now, rumor has it was that he was kind of scared of the competition, and if he got down there,
well, of
that
course he was. Look what happened in the game against Oklahoma.
Absolutely.
He didn't look as good.
Absolutely. And so when you're up against some of the other quarterbacks in there, you know, that's kind of the rumor. And so it's been funny to see his mom kind of take on Twitter and attack some of the guys that are saying that. His mom's been kind of battling it out a little bit. So
you don't want to mess with McCarron's mom.
Yeah, she needs to stay far away.
That's the first thing I'd tell her too if I'm AJ. Come on, Mom.
Don't press send.
Let's go to Phil in the Rock. Phil, thanks for calling. Welcome to Overtime. Phil's gone. Let's try the Duffer and Cabot. Duffer's gone as well. Some Keithley Service Company live in feedback. Steven in South Arkansas, Matt, it's going to be what is, but it's foolish to remove games out of Little Rock. It's easier for me to take my family to the Rock than it is to the Hill.
Yeah, I think it's foolish, too. I think, like I said, even if you just got one five-star blue chipper, he can be a three-star, four-star, whatever, but if you got one blue chip guy that's a difference maker every 3 to 5 years from Southern Arkansas because of that, I think you would want to keep it there. That's a different. What if it's a quarterback coming out like a Manziel, but yet he doesn't go to Little Rock games, and then he doesn't feel that, he doesn't have that connection, I guess.
I totally agree. Some of the first games that these kids from South Arkansas go to, they're not in Fayetteville. It's War Memorial Stadium, and if you take that away, there are some games that really could be closer to them to get to if they wanted to go somewhere else.
You look at Byron Jones from Junction City. I mean,
yeah.
He said one of his first games was in Little Rock, and you know, he's on the border of Louisiana, and so had those games not been in Little Rock, I mean, you might think he winds up at LSU or something.
He might
like
wind
that.
Up at LSU. You're right. Back with more. Chris Turnage is with us. Matt Jones, the Freak, Freaky Joe Franklin. I'm Trey Schaap. Back with more after this. Joined in studio by Chris Turnage. Chris, some Arkansans. Two of them were down, or still are, down in Mobile at the Senior Bowl. Your thoughts on how they were doing?
You know, I think Chris Smith really, really helped himself. He had a buzz that we're kind of talking about. Everybody was talking about him, talking about his get-off, his quickness. You know, now he did measure in. We talked about that a couple days ago. He did measure in a little smaller than what people had hoped at 6'1", but everybody was very impressed with him as far as his, again, his get-off off the line. And so what I heard down there is New Orleans showed a lot of interest. They felt like he could be a perfect fit in kind of that 3-4, their outside linebacker, get to the quarterback guy. And you know, be their sack guy for him. And so, you know, I think that's where it's going to probably end up as a 3-4 and have to kind of play some pass coverage a little bit. But he definitely helped himself. I see him, you know, as probably a day two pick, second, third round guy. And then Travis Swanson was very steady. It's very hard for a center in one-on-one drills, but he got beat a couple times, but looked very, very good in team. And so I see him as probably the first center off the board. And Philadelphia Eagles were showing a lot of interest in Travis, so it could be an interesting fit there with him and Jason Peters playing together maybe.
Let's head to Chris in Jonesboro. Chris, thanks for calling. Welcome to Overtime.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you guys taking my call.
Yes,
I had a two-part question. One was the first was initially for Matt. The issue that happened with Sherman last week, I was going to ask Matt if he ever remembered a time where a microphone was stuck in his face and he was kind of caught up in the moment and maybe didn't respond in the correct way. And two was for Chris. With him being an agent, how much prep has this been in the past, or do you use something like that as an example and say, hey, this ever happens, here's maybe how we go from it. And I'll hang up listening. I appreciate you guys.
All right. Thanks, Chris.
Showing emotion is not a bad thing. What he did as far as I think with the interview, I can't think of her name.
Aaron Andrews.
Yeah, that wasn't as bad as much as showing the choke sign and doing some of that other stuff that was more me. That's the most thing you don't want to take away from the team. But it's tough when you just made probably – some are saying that's the biggest play in Seattle Seahawks franchise history. And you just made that play, and they don't throw your way a lot. They respect him. I think they only threw his way twice the whole game.
Two or three.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't fault him for showing emotion. It's just I think he went a little overboard.
It's tough, too, when you got the mic right after you just made the play, like you said, Matt. I mean, the biggest play in Seattle history right after that. It'd be different if it was 30 minutes in the locker room and then you come up and talk to
And usually that's what it is.
Right.
I don't know if you guys saw footage, but Fox Deportes actually interviewed him before Aaron Andrews, and it was basically the same interview, and she was standing right there, so it was kind of a precursor of what was to come because she was standing there when they interviewed him, and he said some of the same things.
Who were some of the other guys that stood out down there?
At the Senior Bowl?
Yes.
You know, one of the big talk was Aaron Donald from Pittsburgh. He was really, really helped himself. I mean, everybody was talking about him, buzzing about him, and he's a defensive player from Pitt. And just really, really, again, he probably elevated himself more than any single person down there, I would say.
Chris, what are his measurements? Because he doesn't look like the tallest guy, but he can definitely play.
You know, off the top of my head, I don't remember what he came in at. I think he was 6'3 or under. I mean, you're right, Joe, he wasn't extremely tall, but, you know, I want to say maybe right around that 6'3 range, but he certainly had quickness that some people didn't expect. And like I said, I think he was the number one winner throughout the whole Senior Bowl, and so it'll be interesting. It's always interesting to see then where these guys go. The Senior Bowl is a huge, huge step for them, and you can make or break your draft status in the Senior Bowl, or you can make or break in the Combine. But last year, you know, if you remember when Jokel was – everybody was saying Jokel was going to be the number one pick, hands down, and then Eric Fisher and Lane Johnson, both of them went to the Senior Bowl, and because Eric Fisher went there, I mean, he catapulted to that number one overall spot. And Lane Johnson wasn't even really a top 10 pick until the Senior Bowl. So that's always a time where you can come in and literally make your draft.
And talk a little bit about the differences, I guess. The Senior Bowl process, what players do when they get there to the Combine, because the Combine, I know it's like 7 or 9 days, and you rotate where you're only there 3 days.
Right.
And it's more individual, not the padded stuff. So kind of go over the process of the Senior Bowl, what these kids do when they get there.
Yeah, the Senior Bowl, you know, it's interesting. They don't just go out there and show up and play a game. It's a very long, you know, methodical week for these guys. The very first thing they do is they get up and for the weigh-ins, picture standing on Robinson Auditorium stage with the full audience in your underwear. And that's what these guys basically have to do to weigh in. So they're standing there, and there's literally I mean, probably 2,000 people in the audience that are watching them weigh in and measure.
And how important is because one of the knocks, I guess, on Tyler Wilson at Oakland was he couldn't pick up the playbook. So how important is it these kids are going in? It's just a week, and I know it's basic plays, but it's different terminology. How important is it for these coaches to see how quick some of these kids absorb the playbook?
You know, that's big for them. There's typically, you know, maybe 9 to 10 plays, and then you reverse it right, left, or maybe a different formation. But it's still pretty big if they can't get the plays. And you see some of those guys struggling with that pretty quick. And it's interesting, at the Senior Bowl, NFL teams are actually the coaches. NFL coaching staffs are actually the coaches down there. So this time it's Jacksonville Jaguars and Atlanta Falcons. It's usually the two worst teams.
And you get the first choice. If you're the worst team, you get a choice, yeah.
Right. And then sometimes if it's a new coach situation like in Houston, then they don't go. But you know, that's really important for them because they can see these guys firsthand and say, hey, are these guys going to fit in our system? Can they pick up our playbook? And they can really watch. And typically, if you'll watch this year's draft, I guarantee you Jacksonville is going to take some guys that were on their team, or Atlanta's going to take some guys that were on their Senior Bowl team because they spent all week with them.
Mm-hmm. I know when I was there, John Gruden was our coach, and Cadillac Williams was a running back there.
Yep.
And he didn't have Cadillac do hardly anything, and you could tell that's who he was going to draft.
Right.
He was because we were talking in the last break about the OU corner that was projected probably a third or fourth round pick, tears his ACL, and that's kind of what, you know, Cadillac is a top five pick where he didn't need to go,
right.
But Gruden kind of sheltered him a little bit.
Right, and they probably made that arrangement on the front end. I mean, they probably said, Gruden probably told him, hey, if you come, trust me, I'm gonna help you.
I'm going to take
bit,
care of you. Know? Yeah. Let's go to Bull in Pine Bluff. Bull, welcome to Overtime.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, y'all was talking about the Richard Sherman interview. I was wondering if y'all had seen the Mike Epps spoof of the interview.
I have not.
I have not seen that.
It is hilarious. If you watch it, you got to stick around and watch what the reporter, the fake Aaron Andrews, says at the end of the interview.
Now, what? Where can we find that?
Mike Epps, probably.
Mike Epps.
Just Google
YouTube
Mike Epps.
Or, gotcha.
Yeah, I just Googled Mike Epps and Richard Sherman, and it come up real quick.
Okay. We'll do that. We'll do that in the break and watch it.
Sir?
We will do that in the break and watch it.
It's worth your 2 or 3 minutes.
Okay. Thanks, Bull.
Have a good day.
All right. You too. Appreciate it. Chris, I have a question about the teams that are in the Super Bowl and the fact that, okay, their coaches are trying to get ready for the Super Bowl. They can't go down, so they have to rely heavily on their scouts.
Absolutely. Yep. They got to, you know, a lot of these coaches want to say, I want to see this guy firsthand. I want to see if he's my franchise quarterback or whatever. And so they're at a little bit disadvantaged from that standpoint, certainly.
But I think they wouldn't trade that.
Absolutely. I think they're all right where they're going.
Yeah, going to the Super Bowl or, let me go down to the Senior Bowl and look at some potential players for next year.
Right.
I'll take preparation for the Super Bowl.
Right.
We will continue our discussions with Chris Turnage. We will be back after the break. Matt Jones, Trey Schaap, along with the Freak, Freaky Joe Franklin. It's Overtime on the Buzz Radio Network. Back with more. Stay with us.
I know some players, USC's receiver, was it Marquise Lee? And other players, they usually, their senior year, if you're going to be a draft pick, you can take out an insurance policy. How, with the unfortunate event of that cornerback from Oklahoma tearing his ACL and he might not get drafted, or you don't know what that does to his draft stock when you're just a third or fourth round prospect anyways. Do players take, you know, how much of a concern is that? And do any of them take out an insurance policy for a Senior Bowl?
You know, it's not as common for just the Senior Bowl. A lot of them now, you know, it's very common for them to do it if they're like Jadeveon Clowney. He took out an insurance policy.
But he shouldn't play in it.
Right.
Which
and
he can.
He can anyways. But like, he took out one for this year for him playing
right.
in this year at school. But it's not very common, honestly, for them to do it for the Senior Bowl.
And it's because it's a non-contact.
Right.
It's almost like the Pro Bowl a little bit. Now, you do some one-on-one stuff.
Right.
But it's at least
they never
from what
tackle
I remember.
To the ground.
Yeah.
They never tackle to the ground in practice. It's more kind of
it's one-on-one stuff.
One-on-one,
yeah.
Just really trying to give some good evaluation. And then the game is live, of course. But, you know, the argument is, hey, if I can help my draft status, it's worth the chance to come in and try to compete to improve that. Even if there is an injury, but it certainly is worth the possibility of me trying to help myself. So,
Some more Keith Lee Service Company live fan feedback. Jim in Arkadelphia. Let Chris know Jim Rothwell and O'Hill Rice are listening.
All right. Good to hear you guys that are listening.
George in Conway, never been to a Razorback basketball game in Fayetteville, just Little Rock. If someone gave me a few tickets for the game tomorrow, I would drive up and go to it. I mean,
we don't have any tickets.
Trey, we don't have any tickets.
Give up your tickets, Trey.
I don't have any tickets. I'd be glad to give up my press pass if someone wants to go up there and do the work tomorrow.
They don't want that part of it.
No,
they just want to go.
They just
want
to go. And the thing is, when you sit where I sit, you don't get to cheer either. You can't stand up. You can't yell. You can't call the hogs.
We talked a little bit about, you said the guy from Pitt who's impressed the most. What are there some players, you know, A.J. McCarron was the guy that we talked about that didn't go because I don't know if he – I don't think he was scared of competition, but he doesn't go. Are there any players that were possibly first or second round guys that did not show up as far as didn't have a good week that hurt themselves?
Because
we don't hear about that as much in some of these
players.
You just
hear about the ones that are good and that have blown up.
And we understand if you're a top 10 pick, you don't go.
Right.
You know, you don't. And sometimes you don't run at the combine if you're a top 10 pick. But if you've got a first or second round grade and you show up and then just totally whiff, it hurts you.
There's certainly some. You know, last year, the biggest example I saw of that was Colin Klein. He went to the East-West game. And he was a starter for the East West. They had promised him if he came to that game, he'd be a starter. You know, and this is a Heisman finalist, and he got to that game and looked horrible. He was underthrowing people. He was, I mean, this is on, you know, when nobody's guarding him, and he still had a completion percentage of about 50% against air. And so, you know, he ended up going undrafted, and that was largely because of his performance. As far as the Senior Bowl this year, you know, I think some of the quarterbacks kind of hurt themselves. The six quarterbacks there. Logan Thomas from Virginia Tech. Now, he looked the part in weigh-ins, but didn't really look great when it came to the game. And then Stephen Morris from Miami, which he probably really shouldn't have been there in the first place.
I don't see him being an NFL quarterback. Was Taj Boyd there?
He's
a guy. I want to get your thoughts on him. He's a guy. I think he has a second-round grade on him right now. And I don't know that he fits all the NFL offenses, but he can move. I think he had a 50-yard touchdown run in the bowl game. But the one thing I've noticed about him is I think he can make all the throws. Mentally, he makes mistakes in bad spots. That's just something he's always done. But it seems when you watch him play, they're just bubble passes and short passes that he's getting the ball out to Sammy Watkins or somebody else. You're not really seeing him read a defense and make the throws. What did he look like?
Yeah, and you kind of hit the nail on the head there. I mean, his offense, he looks great, and a lot of people would probably look great throwing to Sammy Watkins. But he kind of struggled a little bit this week, and that's what you could really tell, especially when they went to team in 7-on-7 and the defense was starting to mix up some of the coverages. You're exactly right. I mean, he had several throws that were pretty bad because he didn't read it. He thought it was man or he thought it was a certain type of zone, and the defense went a different way. He threw it right to the defender, and so he did not – I don't think he really helped himself, and I really don't see him as being a top three round, top 100 type player. I think he's going to be in that fourth, fifth range, and someone will take a flyer, and if they miss, it's a fifth round pick. Who cares? But I don't see him as being, you know, a first rounder for sure. I don't think he'll be there.
Chris, we hear so much about the SEC and the dominance of the SEC and the fact that, you know, the Super Bowl coming up, 31 players with SEC ties are playing in Super Bowl 48. When you get to the Senior Bowl, can you really tell the difference in an SEC athlete and those that come from other conferences?
You know, I would say, there's always exceptions, but in general, I mean, I think sometimes, yeah, you certainly can as far as some of the speed and some of the stuff, but it, you know, the big thing is I think they're more ready to play as far as the different styles of defense and that type of thing. I mean, there's certainly some fast guys from other conferences. I'm not saying that, but I mean, I think you can tell somewhat when an SEC player steps up. You can kind of see that they're ready, they're prepared. Now, the flip side of that, the funny thing was, there was, I think, three Alabama players in the game, Norwood, Adrian Hubbard, one of their linebackers, and then maybe another guy, I don't remember. But one of the scouts was saying, you know, sure, Alabama players get drafted high, but think about, he goes, give me some Alabama players that have really made a huge impact in the NFL. And he said, because I think they get so beat up at Alabama that by the time they get there, they don't really do it. And so, you know, he said, I think the only two Alabama players that have made a Pro Bowl in the last 5 years were Marcell Dareus this year, who was an alternate, and then Eddie Lacy. And now that's him. I don't know that I haven't checked that stat, but he said, you think about that. He said Alabama.
Well, didn't Baltimore take a Alabama linebacker last year that he played pretty good? But I think you might be right. It's kind of like Duke basketball.
Right.
You know, can you name five just studs in the NBA that go to Duke, but some of the best players go to Duke?
Right, right.
When you look at the Senior Bowl and everything that it is, I mean, it's basically a glorified job fair.
Audition,
for
scrimmage.
The NFL. Yeah. Yep. Audition, yep, with a scrimmage.
Yep.
And the coaches are going to nitpick, and they're going to try and break every player down, pros and cons, so they know what they need going into the combine. And then when they get to the combine, see what else is going on, see what else is out there, because there will be some guys that obviously at the combine that weren't at the Senior Bowl, and then some won't even do everything,
right,
at the combine. So how do these GMs, scouts, coaches, how do they take all that data to come out with, okay, here's our board, here's who we want?
You know, each team does it different, but what a lot of teams will do is they'll start out with, you know, okay, these are the 300 players that we would consider out of this pool. They just go ahead and eliminate some of them off the board, whether it be because of character, whether it be because they don't think he plays hard, or that he can't play. And then they start kind of whittling it down through this process of, you know, the scouts go out during the season, go to the schools, watch the games, and then the All-Star games are a big deal. Ted Thompson, the GM for the Packers, he goes to every single game personally, every single All-Star game, and it's amazing because he'll sit there and you wouldn't know it's Ted Thompson unless you just know him. I mean, a player doesn't necessarily know because he's dressed down, mm-hmm, doesn't have his name tag out.
Maybe a ball cap on or something.
Yeah, ball cap, something, and you know, he'll stand over there, he'll watch the players after when they're not on the field. He'll watch how they're interacting on the sidelines, and he'll just be staring at them. You know, he'll watch how they interact at the hotel. He'll watch everything about that player to say, hey, is this a guy that we want in our organization? And, you know, that's why Green Bay is pretty successful, because he has such a hands-on approach. And then, you know, he'll cut them in a heartbeat if he feels like they're not serious enough, or if they, you know, didn't do what they're supposed to do. I mean, and he'll watch every aspect of it. But, you know, kind of back to your main question, then they'll just kind of keep whittling it down. And then what they'll typically do is they'll do a position board. So they'll rank each guy at the position. So quarterbacks are ranked this, running backs, receivers, you know, and they'll put their top 10. And then they'll kind of do a master board based off of that, based on their team need, stuff like that, and go from there. So it's an interesting chess match as you go through there.
When you see players at the Senior Bowl, where are, I guess, the question – I want to come up with is generally where are they from, not school wise, but I want to go back to part of the country and high school wise, because we've heard it on this show. Arkansas recruiting is down, and Matt's talked about if you have 8 Division I players coming out of the state of Arkansas,
a good year.
That is a good,
yep,
year. You go down to Florida, Georgia,
they have 100 in a county. Yeah,
they have 8 in a county.
Right.
You could have 8 in one school,
right,
down there.
Right. You know, I don't know the breakdown of where they were from high school-wise, but I can tell you, I mean, the majority of
– from the South.
Yep, or dominate from the South. And then you always have some California and some Pennsylvania in there, but the vast majority would be from the South.
That's what I think I remember is a lot from the South. You had some USC, you had some Cali guys, a couple Northern guys, but I would say over half were probably from the southern states.
And then obviously Texas, Florida,
right,
Georgia.
Louisiana.
Well, and if you're in Florida, you got to think you might want to play the East-West game if it's,
right,
in Tampa, you know,
right,
closer to home. Yeah, and isn't there a game out west as well?
Yeah.
There was a Hawaii Bowl, too, I thought, when I was –
Yeah, the
there's
Hawaii
one in Cali.
Bowl went away, but there's one, the NFLPA game, they actually sponsor it. It's out in L.A., and it's the same time as the East-West. And it goes head-to-head against the East-West, and the East-West is the better game, so it typically gets the better players. And so the underling scouts get sent out to L.A. for that game, and then the decision-makers usually stay at the East-West for Tampa, and nicer weather, that type of thing.
The underling scouts. I like the use of the terminology there.
And that's the one that Connor Shaw played in, and he's a guy that I think is going to improve his draft stock once he gets to the combine.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Connor's game is going to be interesting to see. He needs to run well, obviously, because he does have a little movement, you know, in the pocket. Not necessarily scrambling all the time, but he moves around some, and so they're going to want to see that. And And then, of course, watch him throw is going to be the big deal. Is, hey, let's see how this guy does outside of Spurrier's system. Yeah.
To me, he reminds me more. I know some people have said Johnny Manziel is Russell Wilson. I do not see the similarities except for they're both under 6 foot. Mm-hmm. Connor Shaw reminds me a lot more of Russell Wilson than Johnny Manziel. Johnny Manziel is almost – to me, he reminds me of Michael Vick.
Yeah.
You know, he's electrifying, that can do a lot of things. He can take it 70 where – Connor Shaw is kind of built a little similar to Russell Wilson.
Yeah, and Russell Wilson gets – I mean, Russell Wilson doesn't run all the time like a Kaepernick or like a Michael Vick. He runs when he needs to, but he's not a –
He keeps his eyes
downfield.
Yeah. That's what Connor Shaw does, yeah, and where Manziel's going to take off, Vick was going to take off.
Absolutely, and so I agree with you. And it was interesting. I asked a St. Louis guy – he's from Texas – and we were talking about Manziel, and I said, "So, would you take Manziel if you were the GM of the first pick or whatever?" He said, "Well," he said, "if I'm Philadelphia," he said, "absolutely, I would jump on that. Or if I'm Cleveland, who wants to run that?" He said, "Yeah," he said, "I think Manziel's that good and can make it." But he said, "If I'm Dallas or if I'm St. Louis like we are," he said, "he doesn't fit what we do." But
how much does he remind you? I guess of RG3. I mean, teams moved up to take RG3. Would you put him in that category? Or is he more polished in certain areas? Or
I mean, I would say, RG3 is a better straight line runner, but Johnny Manziel is more elusive in the pocket. I mean, escapability and stuff like that. RG3 is bigger. He's got a little bit more mass to him, a little bit bigger,
taller. And,
yeah, kind of a true sprinter speed. But Manziel is just so slippery in that pocket. And it's funny because Adrian Hubbard is the linebacker from Alabama, and he was the one last year that had Manziel. If you remember when Manziel threw the ball up and then caught it himself and ended up running, Adrian Hubbard was the one that grabbed him. And so I was talking to Adrian at this game, and he said, "Man," he said, "that dude is the slickest dude I've ever played against." He said, "I thought I had him." And he said, "All of a sudden, he's just out with the ball and running away from me." And he said, "It was like that the whole game." He said, I've never seen anybody that's that quick." And that's coming straight from out of his mouth. So kind of interesting.
Was there any talk around some of the NFL programs down there in the teams and everything with – GMs, scouts, coaches, what have you, about next Sunday and with everything that was going on that went through that area this week with the snowstorm and everything about next Sunday and the fact that the NFL is about to play this Super Bowl outside in a cold weather climate?
There wasn't a ton of talk. There was certainly some. People are saying, "Hey, if it doesn't snow, it'll be a big success." I mean, you've got New York, one of the largest cities in the world, helping to propel that. But if it does snow, there could be delays, and people are going to have a pretty bad reaction to that. Now, it's kind of interesting because the TV station, you always hear about the Super Bowl commercials, and the TV station has actually sold some commercials that if it gets snow delay or something like that, you can go ahead and so it's cheaper on the front end, but you might not be guaranteed all your slots depending if there's not a break. And so TV station is probably loving it, but there wasn't a lot of talk about that yet. Most of them are either mad they're not at playing in it or ready to see some of these other guys. So
I can understand that, obviously. 1-800-477-1037, 433-1037 if you've got a question for Chris Turnage. He's in here to the bottom of the hour, and he will be glad to answer those. Chris, one on the Keithley Service Company Live Fan Feedback. Richard in Conway wants to know, what defensive player stood out in your mind down there at the Senior Bowl?
Well, as I mentioned before, Chris Smith was one, and Aaron Donald. Those two guys really jumped out. There's a kid, and I'm a little partial because I represent this guy, but his name is Walt Akins. He's from a small school from Liberty University, but he transferred from University of Illinois. He played football, basketball, and track there at Illinois, and everybody was talking about him. He's a big corner. He's 6'1", 205, and so he showed some good speed, and they kind of project him, and that was a second, third-round pick because of his performance in the Senior Bowl, where normally had he not gone or something like that, he wouldn't have been there. As far as some other defensive players, trying to think of who else really jumped out other than Chris Smith and Aaron initially. Let me think about that a little bit, and I'll get back to you if I can think of any more defensive guys that jumped out.
Okay. Some Keithley Service Company Live Fan Feedback. Dan in Little Rock, the caller who was on earlier in the show about fans in South Arkansas, is totally missing the point. South Arkansas produces more quality D1 athletes than Northwest Arkansas. That's why you invest in South Arkansas. Programs spend millions trying to get an edge in recruiting. The U of A has the recruiting edge in the state, and it's mind-boggling how many fans are willing to give that up to save what amounts to chump change. I personally think the opinions of those with a financial interest in where the Hawks play should be voided, since they are more concerned with their own financial interest rather than what's best for the program.
Well, I mean, a statement, I don't know. Are you adding Little Rock into South Arkansas when you say?
I guess they are.
I thought Little Rock would be central.
I think they are. Well, I think they're adding Little Rock into because people in Northwest Arkansas think of it as, well, that's south.
So where do you start south? Conway?
I would say Conway.
Conway's where you start south, yeah.
Conway to Searcy.
There's more players there. Little Rock should produce the most Division I athletes. They should.
No doubt.
Pine Bluff, what's going on there? Why aren't they producing more?
You've got
more?
Will Gregg coming out of there. You've got
Memphis. I still don't understand why we don't go to that Memphis metro area over there and recruit that heavy. There's a lot of great athletes over in that Memphis area.
You've got am I missing Josh Liddell at Pine Bluff Dollarway?
So there's been a couple. Good.
He's being recruited by Georgia now, and he might get a Georgia offer. Hadn't gotten one yet, but he's on his way to Fayetteville right now for recruiting this weekend.
You know, and on that whole debate, it's interesting because to me it's not you can't just say we're going to make more money in Fayetteville because we sell more tickets. You got to consider how many people are going to quit donating from South Arkansas. And you talk about the recruit aspect. If these guys aren't exposed to Arkansas football at an early age from Little Rock or wherever, maybe their parents can't afford to drive up to Fayetteville, then, you know, all of a sudden the LSUs or the
Ole Miss is close, yeah.
Or some of
Mississippi
look
States,
a lot more attractive, yeah.
Louisiana Techs. I mean, you might laugh. There's no way Louisiana
Division
okay.
One offer.
They got Kenneth Strong. You remember the running back?
Yeah. D'Angelo Williams went to Memphis, right?
Yep.
D'Angelo Williams went to Memphis. You're right. Let's head to Bill in Russellville. Bill. And Bill's not there.
And we got a lot of fan feedback. It says Ole Miss is real heavy in Memphis. Is that the truth? Would that be our biggest competitor, Ole Miss in Tennessee, maybe?
In the Memphis area?
Yeah.
I would think so.
Yeah.
That was from Wayne in Hot Springs, and he also said Charles Sawyer. Okay, Wayne, can you expand on that a little bit? Maybe send us some more in about Charles Sawyer. Chris, for the teams now, after the Senior Bowl, they get back, they sit down, have meetings, discuss who they want before they get ready for the combine coming up, right?
Yeah, they will have either eliminated or added some guys to their list from all the different All-Star games. Like I said, some of them they're gonna cut out. It was kind of funny. There was a Utah cornerback. He's a big kid, 6'3", and probably 215. And every time he went off man coverage, he would fake an injury, and he would come out to the side and hold his hamstring. But then when he got to do press, he'd come back in and want to do press. And then he got beat really bad, and literally the guy was 5 yards past him already. Then he said he was hurt. And it was funny to hear scouts' reaction. They're like, man, this kid's not there mentally. You know, he's not a competitor. And even though he's got a great frame, they kind of took him some off the list on some time.
That's the one key I would say is they want to see you compete.
Yep.
If you do that there's no quicker way to move out of or down a draft board than to be afraid of competition.
I agree.
Thanks, man.
Chris, thanks so much for coming in today. We really appreciate it.